To us, the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me." This is Alex McFarland. You're listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network, and we're coming to you today. I'll tell you where in just a minute, where we're coming from, but I welcome you. We're talking about Jesus in the books of the Bible, the gospel message throughout every page of Scripture. And then this is Friday, and Friday we generally give a little more time for Bible questions, and that's something we'll do today. We call it Fire Away Friday. But we thank you for listening. We're so glad you're with us. And you know, they've been coming to us from the Cove this week. Up there, where there was a big conference, and it was focused on revival, and they've been much in prayer. And so you've heard Jim Stanley and Bert Harper, and I've been on the road, you know, and I'll tell you where I am right now, folks, because if you're anywhere near Florence, South Carolina, right off of I-95, the wonderful town of Florence, South Carolina, and it's right near Dillon. I know there are a lot of listeners in this area. I'm going to be speaking this weekend, and we're doing a revival emphasis and truth for our times. Now, here's where I am, folks. I'm at a wonderful church, Grace Baptist Church. This is Loop Road, L-O-O-P, Loop Road in Florence. Pastor John Collins, great, great leader. And in fact, my third visit here to Florence. But tonight, 7 o'clock tonight, Grace Baptist. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to be doing a worldview and apologetics seminar right here at Grace Baptist, 10 a.m. It's free. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing, hey, come on out. We're going to be talking about biblical worldview. We're going to be talking about the really kind of the battle of worldviews that our country is immersed in. And caught in the crossfire of the battle of worldviews are very often our kids. Now, I wrote this book that just came out called Abandoned Faith. And listen to the subtitle, Abandoned Faith, Why Millennials Are Leaving the Church and How to Bring Them Home. Now, we don't want anyone listening to ever be the parent of a prodigal. Hope you'll be a parent, a Christian parent, and build a godly home. But we don't want your kids to be some of the statistics of kids raised in a Christian home or maybe even went to a Christian school and fell away. I'm looking at an article right here on my laptop, and it was an article that came out just about a year ago, and it said millennials are increasingly unaffiliated with religion. Younger millennials are less religious than older ones, something like 70% less likely to identify with God and Christianity than previous generations. So tomorrow morning at Grace Baptist, we're going to be talking about the battle of worldviews and how your family can be solidly rooted on the rock of God's truth. Then again, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., I'll be speaking. There's special music. And Sunday morning, if you're in the area, Florence, South Carolina, Grace Baptist, and it's Bring a Friend Day. So I'm very honored to be here and very excited to be on the American Family Radio Network with today's edition of Exploring the Word. Now, if you've got a Bible, turn to the New Testament Gospel of Mark. Mark in the New Testament. And what Bert and I have been doing for several months, actually, we've been going through the Bible, Jesus on every page of Scripture. Now, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's not hard to see Jesus in the Gospels because they are the good news story of Jesus and his mission coming to earth to be the Savior, and we just celebrated Easter. But some of the Old Testament books like Obadiah and Zechariah, we've been bringing out Jesus in every book of the Bible, and we find ourselves at Mark. And I want to talk a little bit about Mark chapter 2. Because in Mark chapter 2, there's a very famous account of how Jesus healed the paralytic that was lowered down through the roof. And I think about this, and I don't want to over-spiritualize too much and turn it into a preacher illustration, but this is valid. Remember the crippled man that was lowered down through the roof, and there was such a crowd, they couldn't get near Jesus, but they wanted to get their friend near Jesus. They took him up on the roof, and there in ancient times in the Middle East, there were, you know, it was really kind of a thatch roof, and they opened it up and they lowered him down. Now, before I tell you about Jesus' interaction with this person, notice that it was the man's friends who got the crippled man to Christ. And do you know, 96% of people, roughly 96, and some say what as high as 98% of those who come to Christ are brought to Christ through the influence of a friend or a relative. Now, there are people that wake up one day and they just think, you know, gee, I need the Lord, and they turn on the TV and they hear Charles Stanley or maybe Billy Graham. Praise God for that. They turn on and they hear David Jeremiah. But do you know, and I've talked to, I used to say hundreds of people, I suppose I would probably say thousands of people all across the country now, I'll say, how did you come to know the Lord? And they'll say, well, I had a friend who brought me to church, or I had a relative that encouraged me to think about my soul. And so you can be like that Mark chapter 2, a group of friends that brought their friend to Jesus Christ. I really believe one of the most important things we will ever do, in fact, it is the most valid, most vital endeavor that you'll ever invest yourself in, and that's, if you do know Christ, helping other people find Christ. But Jesus says something very unusual. They bring the paralytic to Christ on a mat, and Jesus says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You're forgiven. Now, Jesus knew that there were people watching him already. His influence and his notoriety was growing. And some of the Pharisees, they wanted to find a reason to accuse him. He could have said, "Be healed." And that would have been perhaps controversial enough, but he said something to a guy who was crippled. He said, "Your sins be forgiven." Now, first of all, Jesus knew the man's heart. He knew what was on the man's heart, and he was thinking about his soul. I mean, outwardly, it was about the man's physical condition, but Jesus came to address the spiritual condition. And the people said, or the Pharisees rather, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" Now, let's hit the pause button for just a moment. Now, think about this. As you witness for Christ, as you represent the Lord, we need to help people understand that Jesus is not merely a famous teacher or a good philosopher or influential leader. I mean, he is the wisest who ever lived. He is a good teacher, but he is more than that. He is the Son of God. Jesus didn't just speak for God. Jesus spoke as God. Jesus was not one who merely claimed to represent the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, God incarnate. And so the people said, "Wait just a minute. Who can forgive sins but God only?" And the answer is exactly. Jesus could say to the paralytic in Mark chapter 2, "Son, thy sins be forgiven," because, correct, only God can forgive sin. And that's exactly who Jesus is. He is God incarnate. And so he said, and he knew their hearts too. He knew the heart of the seeker. He knew the heart of the accuser. And friend, he knows your heart today. He really does. Don't forget Mark 2, but I want to tell you, I was being interviewed by a journalist in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a few years ago, and the conversation turned, you know, pretty serious. And this journalist asked me, he said, are you one of the types that believes Jesus is the only way to heaven? And I said, yes, I do. But remember, it was Jesus himself who said he was the only way to heaven. Only Christ can save. Only Jesus. And I said, that's how Jesus presented himself as the one and only Savior. And the journalist was a little bit indignant and said, do you mean to tell me 1.6 billion Muslims aren't seeking God? And I said, listen, I know some Baptists I'm not sure are seeking God. You see, outward religion doesn't really tell the story of the heart. It may indicate, but God knows our heart. And so we've got to ask ourselves as we look at the Mark chapter 2 passage. We read about Jesus' interaction with the paralytic. We read about God working in the lives of others. But what about in our own heart? Has there been a time when you really turned your heart over to Christ? And so this is Exploring the Word. We've got a break coming up, and I want you to turn to Mark 2. When we come back, we're going to continue. We're going to take your questions. We've got Fred Jackson from One News Now, and we're going to continue this Friday edition of Exploring the Word. Don't go away.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The way some Christians live, you'd think there was a difference between being free and living free. Dr. Tony Evans says that kind of confusion can turn us into voluntary slaves. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
One of the great tragedies of slavery is that when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, many slaves would not leave the plantation because they had been living there too long. That was their security, that was their food, that was their clothes. They'd just been there so long that it was too much trouble to be free. Too much trouble, too risky, too far north. They would prefer many times the security of slavery rather than the opportunity of freedom because they had been in it all their lives. Some of us have been held hostage to stuff because it's been there all of our lives. My daddy was an abuser. My mama was a drunk. I'm just doing what I always seen. And you get ready to transfer it to your children because it's just been there so long. So that's called a plantation mentality. And Satan wants to keep you with a plantation mentality that I'll never get better. I'll never overcome this. I'll never get victory over this. I'll always be defeated by this. And the worst statement of all, this is just who I am. No, that's not who you are. If you've become a Christian, you have died in Christ. And you have been set free even if you don't feel free. Simply because God said so. So that you begin to experience the freedom that God declares is yours.
Jesus said that when he sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Find out more. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
You know, in the Gospel of Mark, they call Jesus the carpenter's son. And yes, he, one of those beloved titles, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. Who is this? It's Jesus. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Fred Jackson on the American Family Radio Network. Tell you what, we're going to get to your calls here in just a moment. Let me give that number if you've got a pen or something to write with. It's 888-589-8840. I do want to remind you again that I'm in Florence, South Carolina. I know we have a lot of great listeners down here in South Carolina. Grace Baptist Church, 7 o'clock tonight, all weekend long. And I'll tell you one other thing that I'm doing in July. I know that's a ways off, but I'm going to be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, July 28 through 30, teaching through the book of Colossians. And we're especially going to pull out the apologetics and worldview content in the book of Colossians. Sure would love to see you there. And Fred, welcome to Exploring the Word. This is a rare treat to have you on, my brother.
Well, it is really good to be with you. I've been listening for most part for the last 10, 15 minutes. You know, I got into radio way, way, way back when we played records.
Oh, yeah.
And what's called analog tape and all that sort of thing. But now everything is software. And, yeah. And you know, they do a great job with software, but every now and then, if there's a glitch, like everything goes out the door. And that's what we experienced over the last 20 minutes. But we have the best engineers possible right here at American Family Radio. And you know, they went to work, the whole team.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to join you. So it's so good to be with you. You know, I popped in with Bert a few times before when there's been kind of breaking news of special interest to our audience. But this is the first time to kind of join the team on the program, and I'm excited about it. It's absolutely wonderful. And well, you're in Florence, South Carolina.
Florence, South Carolina, right on I-95, just a very wonderful town, and been here several times. And if you're an AFR listener, hey, come see us. We surely would love to meet you in person at Grace Baptist, 7 o'clock tonight. But Fred, I want to say this, that one thing I appreciate about you as a journalist, no doubt everybody will recognize your voice. And friend, I know you know the voice. Now you can put a name with the voice, Fred Jackson. But I appreciate this. You're a journalist. You cover the news, but you cover it from a Christian perspective. And that is so refreshing and, frankly, rare in today's media world. But I just want to say I appreciate what you do for the Great Commission via the newsroom.
Well, thank you so much. We really do appreciate that. And I feel, you know, the Lord put me together with American Family Radio. It's, you know, it's coming up on 20 years on June the 1st.
Really? Praise God.
And, you know, Alex, you and I were talking just about an hour ago leading up to the program, and we were talking about, you know, there's a lot going on in the news these days. And one of the big stories this week is, of course, Ann Coulter and the controversy over her not being able to speak at Berkeley in
yes.
California. And we were talking about, you know, there's the politics that are out there today. But it's all part, really, and I've come to realize this over the last 20 years, that the news that we report each day is directly related to the spiritual warfare that is going on in our country right now. You cannot disconnect public policy. You cannot disconnect the protests that are happening on university campuses and other places. You cannot disconnect that from where the nation is spiritually. And if, you know, for people who say, well, gee, I'm not aware of the spiritual warfare that's going on out there, you need to tune in to the news. You need to be up on what's going on, because sooner or later, all of this is going to touch you. And
exactly.
You know, I just, you know, Berkeley is a secular campus where secular humanism is celebrated. But, you know, some of the stories we deal with sometimes has to do with Christian colleges. There were headlines just in the last few days in the Boston Globe and Mail about Gordon College and the interest. And that's a Christian college up in just northeast of the city of Boston. And in interest of full disclosure, I went there for a year back in 1972. But the headlines are all seven members resigned from Gordon College Faculty Senate. And it has to do, they are upset that a professor at that Christian college who is sympathetic to homosexuality did not get a promotion. That's the story I've been reading. And that's shocking. You know, I guess we're accustomed to these kinds of things happening in secular universities, but it's entered into the thinking now, even in the Christian circles of Christian universities. And that's troubling. And Alex, I think it would be good for you to talk to our audience a little bit about what has happened that has allowed the values of the world to enter into, whether it's Christian colleges and sadly into what would be called Christian denominations today, and we do so many stories on that, where
sure.
there are debates over the authority of Scripture.
Oh, my word. I know. Well, and let me say, having been for 11 years now in academia and Christian higher education, you know, Fred, of those that teach in the university classroom, there are really three kinds of people. There are the PhDs that love truth and know the Lord. There are, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, and I don't want to throw all of academia to the curb. There are many people with earned doctoral degrees, PhDs, that love the Lord and love truth, and they want to know truth and impart truth to young people. And I believe God bless them, but they are in the minority. Mm-hmm. The other types of academics, and some are at Christian schools, there are those that are proud and those that are insecure. It's interesting. Listen, to get a PhD in the 21st century is really more a test of endurance than intelligence. And again, you know, if you want to email and fuss at me, you can do that. But let me say this. The two evil twins, pride and insecurity, there are a lot of people that, and I've debated many of these atheists, these militant secularists, these that hate God and America. They denigrate Christianity. They ridicule patriotism. Oftentimes, these schoolyard bullies on America's college campuses are very insecure people, and they can be abrasive, and they intimidate young people, and they really silence the Christian voices because they're insecure. And then there are those that maybe even they were Christians, or they came up through denominational schools, but they're proud, and they would not dare say that they believe in Genesis over Charles Darwin. They would not dare say that they believe in biblical morality as God has revealed. And so thank the Lord for the Christians in the classroom that are bold and valiant for the truth. But Fred, I say all that to say this. I want parents everywhere to know, and listen, I've spoken at 200 college campuses. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of young people. I've interviewed dozens and dozens of professors. Here's the deal, mom and dad, we're not bashing education. Education is important, but the Berkeley debacle with Ann Coulter is indicative of the fact that unless you send your son and daughter to a solidly Christian institution, and you really need to do your homework, listen, college will amount to a four-year attack on America and God unless you send your child to a solidly Christian school. And 4 years of college can unravel what you've worked 18 years to instill, and your child will be one of those statistics that bail out on the faith. And we don't want that to happen.
And we've seen so many surveys have been done, Alex, that totally back up what you're saying. Is that our young people today, when they leave home, they've been in church for 10, 12 years, been in Sunday school, they've grown up in a solidly conservative Christian family many times. But sadly, the stats show, Barna and others that do these kinds of surveys, when they leave home and they get exposed and I would say even inundated with a philosophy that is totally anti-scripture, totally anti-biblical, they're swallowed up by this. And I know there are good, Baptist Student Union, thank God for them, and they're on these campuses, but I think the pressures have grown a whole lot more since I went to secular university many years ago, back in the 70s. The opposition is so much more vigorous. I use the sophisticated word nasty. That's what it's coming down to now, where unless you are one of two things, you're going to keep your mouth shut as a Christian, I'm not going to say anything, and I'll just hope to make it through. Or number two, if you dare defend the faith, you can expect opposition from your fellow students. You can expect opposition from the professors in the classroom. That movie that came out back a few years ago, God's Not Dead. The setting was a university classroom, and we know what happened there. And that movie told the truth of what many Christian young people are facing today.
Exactly. And folks, we don't want to give you too much of a history lesson here, but in the aftermath of Darwinism in the late 19th century, the schools in America, and it really began with Harvard, which was founded in 1638, and Yale was founded in 1701. Look, all of the Ivy Leagues, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, William and Mary, they were all Christian schools. I mean, they were overtly, explicitly Christian schools. And there were people like B.B. Warfield and J. Gresham Machen and others that had to pull out and start Christian schools like Westminster, because the original colleges in America had so drunk the Darwinian Kool-Aid. And here's the deal. Nowadays, you know, we've got relativism. And that's basically that there is no ultimate objective truth. We all make up our own truth, and all truths are equally valid. There's this enforced pluralism. Now we've always been a pluralistic nation in the sense you can believe whatever you want to believe. But Fred, now, as you know, as a journalist, now there's this enforced pluralism that all views have to be equally valid. There's nothing false and there's nothing true. And unless you've got a really high view of Scripture and you trust God's revelation rather than the changing tides of cultural opinion, you're going to be swept away. And there's a lot we could say. I want to give this number because we want to get to your Bible questions, 888-589-8840. But give the website for One News Now, Fred, because, folks, I travel and speak. I do a lot of media interviews. I did two interviews this morning, and I'm always, you know, having to stay current with where the culture and where the news is. And I surf One News Now like 100 times a day, literally. So, Fred, give that website so people can avail themselves to the great research you all do.
Absolutely. www.onenewsnow. That's onenewsnow.com. And you can go there. And really what One News Now reflects, Alex, is the kinds of stories that you're going to hear on our radio newscasts. And there's a radio station right where you are, an AFR station in Florence, South Carolina, in your neighborhood.
And all over America.
And all over, we have close to 200 stations now, and some exciting news. In the last 6 months, many Christian stations not part of our network are starting to pick up our newscasts. And so we're really excited about that because it's putting us in places in California and Florida and other places where AFR does not have a station right now. So we're excited about that, and I really... certainly, number one, credit the Lord for blessing us in giving us those doors that are opening for us. But also, I think, Alex, there is an awareness building out there of the spiritual warfare that Brother Don recognized, Don Wildman, mm-hmm. our founder, recognized many years ago when he started. It's about 25 years ago with American Family Radio, that we had to have a vehicle to get what is going on in our world from a Christian perspective out there to help Christians. You know, our kind of motivation here is to educate and motivate. Tell people what is going on and then motivate them to respond. And this week, you know, one of the things we do here at AFA is send out action alerts. And we've asked our people to call their members of Congress and tell them that we want the defunding. In fact, this story is on One News Now. We want our members of Congress to stay true, those who were elected in the last election, to defund Planned Parenthood. And
right.
That's not just politics. That is all part of the spiritual warfare that's going on in our country right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, absolutely. And... This is great because, folks, you can be involved and you can make your voice heard, and your voice does make a difference. You mentioned Dr. Don Wildman, who is the founder of the American Family Association. It was our privilege back in, I believe it was February, a couple months ago, we were in Orlando, and he was given an award by the National Religious Broadcasters, the Hall of Fame, kind of a Lifetime Achievement Award. And as I watched, they kind of played a highlights reel of all that you know, has transpired in and through the life of one man. I thought about 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, folks, the Word of God, this is a promise to each of us. It says your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
And that's why we would encourage you to read the Bible, believe the Bible, follow the Bible, to stay informed. Go to onenewsnow.com. Stay up on current events. Because, you know, Fred, the old saying, courage is contagious. Mm-hmm. See, you, dear friend, you speak up for the Lord, and you stand up for what is right and good and true. And those around you will be emboldened as well. I really believe if the 68 to 130 million Christians. And I mean, just even take the low number. If there's 68 million that really do have a relationship with Christ, hey, I'll take those numbers. But if God's people would make their voice heard, stay informed, be salt and light, raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, send your kids to a Christian school like North Greenville, like Liberty, you know, like Grove City, and there's so many great Houston Baptists. But don't send your kids to a place where God and His Word are going to be denigrated. Send your children to a university that's going to teach them to love God and country. If the 65 to 68 million believers really took this thing seriously of being a steward in every area of life, it would change not only our country, Fred, I think it would change the world.
Absolutely. Want to give that number again, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'd love to come on and with your questions today. I know you have some. You know, part of this equation that we're talking about, responsibility with regards to post-secondary education, I think it goes to the stewardship. Our money is the Lord's. As Christians, we believe that. God has given us every penny that we have in our bank accounts. And one thing that has kind of bothered me in recent years, Brother Alex, is that, you know, Christian parents many times, I need to send my Johnny or my Jane off to the school that I graduated from. Well, number one, that school probably has changed since you were there, Mom and Dad. In its value system, but you know, as Dan Celio, Financial Issues, says, you know, we are going to be held accountable to how we spend the money that God gives us. And you're sending your son and daughter off to a secular school and $100,000 to $120,000 over the 4 years to get a degree or more, depending on what school you go to. Is that investing God's money wisely? I've said, Alex, and I've said this for a couple of years now, I would encourage even to send your child for 1 year to get a year of Bible at a good Bible school so that they become solidified in God's Word and just kind of get ready for, get out there into the theater, into the battlefield. Yeah. So it may not be for 4 years, but make the investment for at least 1 year. And many times we just have this idea, right out of high school, I got to start university. Take at least a year of Bible to get out there, to get solidified, and just to get into that environment. It may be that your son or daughter say, hey, you know, God has used this opportunity to call me into full-time service. To stay for the full 4 years. Because we're talking about post-secondary education. I think there's been in some quarters of Christianity, that somehow Christian schools are lower in academic standards. And I can tell you, good Christian schools, I would argue, are even higher in academic standards. Whether, you know, you go there, you take biology, you take literature, whatever the case may be, many times Christian universities have even higher standards than secular universities.
Exactly. Hey, folks, we've got a break. I know on hold we've got Anthony from Arkansas, 888-589-8840. We're going to get right to your calls when we come back. This is Exploring the Word. Fred Jackson, Alex McFarland, and you, dear listener, don't go away. We're back after this.
Amen.
When was the last time God asked you to examine your life? David paused to examine his life in Psalm 139. The last two verses of that psalm read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Seemingly willing to turn from his sin, David was asking God to show him how he had blown it spiritually. You know, if we are ever going to experience personal revival and change in our lives, we are going to have to do the very same thing. Almighty God, would you reveal to us right now how we have departed from you? Would you help us turn from our sins and begin to walk in your ways? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is James Poole, the National Prayer Director of OneCry.com.
Mom, what if somebody else prays at the same time I pray? Whose prayer does God hear?
He can listen to more than one prayer at a time.
What if a lot of people are praying at the same time? I bet he gets confused.
No, he's God, and he understands every prayer.
The National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. A lot of people praying to a God who understands. A thought from the American Family Association.
You would not stop talking about stealing just because you know people who are in your congregation who have stolen.
Janet Mefford.
That's where we get it all twisted in our minds, because we are treating certain sins as different from others. And in God's mind, sin is sin. You're not condemning people simply because you're talking about sin. It's not the sin that will go to hell, right? It's going to be the person who goes to hell apart from Christ. Join me for Janet Mefford Live, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. I'm a so-called activist. I've picketed sex shops, the U.S. Justice Department, debated the ACLU, been a leading force in driving Howard Stern off terrestrial radio. One key thing that I've learned from these activist engagements is this: without God's help, without a sense of His presence daily, I would have thrown in the towel. Daily devotions is key in standing for Christ. I believe, therefore, in spending time with the Lord daily, because His presence and power is essential in all I do, not only in ministry, but as a husband, father, and a grandfather. Young or old, I urge you on. Spend time with the Lord. To receive an info sheet on strengthening your daily devotions, call 231-924-4050, 231-924-4050. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
888-589-8840. Your Bible questions on this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland and Fred Jackson on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, where shall we go first?
Let's go to Arkansas, and Anthony is on the line. Anthony, welcome. Yes, Anthony, are you with us? Okay. I guess, Anthony, let's move on to the next one. Let's go to North Carolina, your neighborhood there, Alex, and Amen. Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, over the past 10 years, all these Muslims that are seeing visions of Jesus, how will they receive the truth?
Great question. Hey, let me share something. A couple of years ago, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. There's a wonderful ministry up there that reaches out to Muslims. And it was my privilege for 2 days to go and speak at this conference. It was called Call of Love. And there were hundreds of people there. And I mean, these were, you know, many of these people were like engineers and surgeons and highly, highly educated people. And they were ex-Muslims, now born-again believers. And I taught on worldview for 2 days, but they shared, you know, dozens and dozens of testimonies about how they did not know the gospel, and they had a dream or a vision of Jesus, and in a dream they realized that Jesus was the true Savior, and then through through getting a hold of a Bible, oftentimes very secretively, they had to just kind of under the radar pursue and find out the Bible, or maybe through a friend. But it's amazing, and you know, let me say, God will never violate His nature. God will never contradict His written word. But Fred, I believe the Holy Spirit will go to heroic measures to reach lost souls, and I'm hearing more and more accounts from missiologists about Jesus making Himself known to the Muslim world. Now, the primary way, there's people that go, and the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? I believe we need to have a great heart for missions, and we need to be willing to go ourselves, either be a goer or a sender.
Yeah, but, I have to admit, Alex, that you know, even as an evangelical, sometimes we're a little skeptical when people say they had visions mm-hmm. or they had a visit. But you know what? As a journalist also, when you have many sources saying the same thing, you begin to say, okay, there's got to be something to this. When you hear so many reports now, and over the last year, year and a half, I've heard so many reports of Muslims who, in a dream, they're presented the gospel. And you can be skeptical about it, but you know what? If they make a decision for Christ based on that, and they become born-again believers, then I think we have to step back from that skepticism that can be healthy at times, but we got to be careful about that.
Exactly, exactly. But I would say the church's assignment in this hour, really the church worldwide, as we've seen the escalation in terrorism and just the rise of Islam, especially in the West, our assignment, among others, should be to pray for the conversion of the Muslim world. Those precious souls, 1.6 billion souls, Jesus loves these people and he wants them saved.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Louisiana and Larry. Larry, welcome to Exploring the Word. Go ahead.
Hey, Fred. I certainly appreciate y'all taking my call. Alex, I kind of like to ask a question that in the scriptures it talks about that in the latter times that men will not believe the truth, and they'll believe a lie, and they'll be lovers of themselves. And but I see traveling around like you do in the different churches and speaking to different denominations. And I visit around too, and every one of them has got a view about either you're speaking tongues, or you're not complete, or you're not baptized, or your works, or something other. Do you think that most of the churches or some of the churches are into that zone where that they've been, they believe in a lie?
Well, I wouldn't say most. And you alluded to sign gifts, tongues, and the working of the Holy Spirit. And different opinions about the working of the Holy Spirit has in previous decades been divisive. You know, I think about this, and Fred, I would love for you to chime in on this. You know, 30 years ago, in the mid-80s, there were, within evangelicalism, there was a lot of arguing about the role of the Holy Spirit, and there had been different things that we, within the family of God, we had these intramural debates. And I pray that at this point in history, the church will unite. I mean, Jesus in John 17, 21 prayed for the church to be united. In Ephesians 4, 13, he talks about, the Word of God talks about coming up in the unity of the faith and then the knowledge of God's Son. Now, here's my point. Look, some people sleep in the pews, some churches jump over them. But if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and he shed his blood and through Christ alone we're saved, and is Jesus the one and only Savior? Yes. Is the Bible God's word and it is authoritative for life and practice? There's a heaven to be won. There's a hell to be avoided. Hey, we're family. I love you. We need each other. And Fred, I think if the church would unify around the banner of Jesus, the one and only Savior, I think it would rock the world, and we need to unify.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, there are the non-negotiables, and we believe it's absolutely true that Jesus is the only way of salvation, by grace through faith in him and what he accomplished on Calvary's cross for us. Right. That is non-negotiable, but there is room out there. You know, when you read the apostles, and you know what? The apostles had different opinions on things. Mm-hmm. And they had debates sometimes about these things. And that's healthy, because I believe debate forces you and ought to force you to get into God's word. Well, what does God's word say about this?
Yeah.
Let's go to the examples. And sometimes you'll find, well, you know, my goodness, I didn't know that. That actually did happen. So, you know, there's that flexibility that's still there. I'm glad that God believes in variety, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's appearances and even amongst opinions. As I say, I think good debates are healthy, and we ought not to shy away from that kind of thing. All right, Alex, let's move on to Illinois, and Adam is on the line. Adam, good to have you with us on Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hey, Alex, I watched one of your debates with Silverman, I think it was from March this year. Yeah, I want to praise you. I thought you did a real good job with that. Silverman's kind of a hard guy to watch, but I was really impressed how you kept your composure and stayed on track the whole time.
Well, God bless you. Hey, let me just throw this in there. Pray for David Silverman. He leads American Atheist that was started years and years and years ago by Madeline Murray O'Hare. I deeply care about this guy. He is a friend of mine. I'd give just about anything to see him get saved. So you keep him in prayer.
Yep, sure will. But yeah, I had a question. I've been, you know, I kind of hear people talk about the name of God, and, whether it's Yahweh or Jehovah or Elohim. I just kind of want to see what your take on that, how important it is to call him the right name, or as long as our heart isn't it, that's what's important.
Yeah. Hey, great question. Great question. You know, God has revealed himself in Scripture that he is the eternal God. And there are several names for God given in Scripture. You mentioned Yahweh, and in the Hebrew, really, Yahweh. And they didn't have vowels. But Yahweh is really the word in Exodus 3:14 where the voice out of the burning bush tells Moses, I am that I am. The eternal one. It is God's nature to exist. That's really the name of God, Yahweh. And they inserted vowels in there, and that's really Jehovah. So Jehovah and Yahweh are really kind of interchangeable. Elohim, El, is a Hebrew word for God, and in like Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man in our image. That really alludes to the triunity, the Trinity, that there's one God, but yet within the Godhead, there's a plurality. And a whole nother show for another day, Fred. I don't want to get us off track here, but a lot of Muslims would say we are tritheists, that we believe in three gods. No, 1,000 times no. Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's one God, but... The Hebrew name of God is spelled YHWH, but the Hebrew didn't have any verbs, any vowels. And so when they record the name in Greek, they put in the vowels and you get Jehovah, Yahweh. Now, when it comes to Jesus, I mean, there's, you know, basically seven titles or appellations given to Jesus. Son of God, Christ, Son of Man, Messiah, Lord, God, Adonai. But they're all referencing the same person, the eternal, uncreated, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, eternal God, the one. And, Yeshua means Jehovah saves, and indeed he does. We say Jesus... Fred, I'm sure you've heard many people pronounce it Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
Yeshua Mashiach, and you know to really make it sound Jewish, you got to get a little spit in your voice. But and so this Southern Gentile can't really pronounce it Hebraically like some of my Jewish friends can. But they're all talking about that name above all names, Acts 4:12, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, thank you so much for that that good question. Jim in Arkansas, welcome to Exploring the Word. Go ahead.
Bless you guys. Well. I'm about 60, never owned a computer, haven't had cable in years. My brother bought me an iPhone here a while back. I've been watching a lot of videos. And I've come across a couple, and I know you've mentioned on the show about the eternal salvation of the believer. They brought up Hebrews 10:26 and some others. Could you kind of go over that for me?
Sure. You mean like eternal security of the believer?
Yeah.
I do believe in that. And you know, this is another example where equally good, godly, committed believers disagree. There are some that don't believe in eternal security. I do. Question is, can you lose your salvation? I think scripturally and by analogy, we are on good ground to talk about the eternal security of the believer. And let me give you a couple of things to think about. John 10, 28-29, Jesus says, I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. Nothing can pluck them out of my hand. Now, can a Christian stumble and sin and get backslidden? Yes. But I don't think you lose your salvation. Again, this is different denominations that are all within the realm of orthodoxy disagree on this. But when you turn to Christ to be saved, a lot goes on. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit indwells you. The righteousness of Christ is imparted to you. That's Romans chapter 4. Ephesians 4:30 says you're sealed to the day of redemption. Now, Ephesians 4:30 says don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God who seals you to the day of redemption. So you can grieve God, you can disappoint, disobey God, but it doesn't say that you get unsealed. Now, I think about this, Fred. Think about the analogy of our kids. A kid can please his mom and dad. A child can disappoint their mom and dad, but they're still their child. Why? Because they were born into the family. Mm-hmm. And so we are given everlasting life. And if you could get it, lose it, regain it, lose it, get it, I mean, it would be more properly called intermittent life, but it's everlasting life. And I think that we can be assured. A great resource is by Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley, great, very trustworthy minister. Eternal security, can you be sure, he wrote. And I think that we can sleep at night confident that we are secure in Christ if we've been born again.
Amen. You know, I use that analogy of, I have two daughters, and I praise the Lord that they've accepted Christ as their Savior. And I use the analogy, you know, someday they may get off track and go down the wrong path, and I'm talking severely down the wrong path, but they'll always be my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changes there. And I think the other thing, you know, that we learn, as Christ said, you know, when you think of a sin, that is a sin. If you lust in your heart after someone, you don't, that's already committing adultery, or you hate someone, that's already committing murder. And who of us doesn't have thoughts that are sinful? And how many sins does it take to lose your salvation?
Yeah.
Because one sin makes us unrighteous. It's not a bunch of sins. It's one sin that would make us unrighteous if our salvation depended. You know, I'm so glad our salvation depends on what Jesus accomplished on the cross.
Amen.
And not what I can do. And I'm thankful. I'm one of those that my salvation is secure in Him, not in what I do or don't do.
I say it this way. You're not saved by works. You're not kept saved by works.
Amen. Alex, what a pleasure it's been to be with you today.
Well, ditto, my brother. And again, I'm in Florence, Grace Baptist on Loop Road, and I'll be here 7 o'clock. Free seminar for parents tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And if you're in the Florence area, come see us.
Absolutely. All right, folks, it's been good to be with you on Exploring the Word. Brother Bert will be back with Alex, as far as I know, on Monday. In the meantime, yes, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Get a blessing in your home church and with your family. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.